When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It is September 3rd, 2019. I'm Glenn Rubenstein, and this is the Wrestling Inc. podcast talking about SmackDown Live. I am joined, as always, by Mr. Matt Morgan and Justin Labar. We thought it would be the first SmackDown of the Dark Bailey era after last night's supposed heel turn at the end of Monday Night Raw. Matt, what did you think of tonight and the way Bailey opened the show?
Why do you still say supposed?
Well, imagine when Hollywood Hogan debuted as the third man in the NWO, if he would have come out and cut this promo that Bailey did tonight on the next night's WCW.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I still think it's there though. You don't?
I don't know. Justin, what did you think of this tonight? The explanation Bailey gave.
I was disappointed at first. I will admit, you know, they showed us the video package reminding us of the heel turn. And like, Bailey's one of those characters. She's always been babyface, you know. So like, I always did wonder, okay, if she turns heel, like, what do we see next? So when I heard the same music and she came out and literally did her same like pose to the crowd, like, that did throw me off. Like, I mean, yeah, she didn't shake hands with the fans. That's good. Her promo really, it wasn't, I'm gonna give it a chance. It's only one night. I mean, but it was still too much of like the same Bailey.
But here's the thing. I don't like, actually, I mean, the way Hogan did it, in retrospect, we hadn't seen red and yellow Hogan like the night before. You know what I mean? So I don't like when somebody turns heel or turns babyface and completely changes overnight. All of a sudden, like, what was Bailey supposed to come out wearing? Like Olivia Newton-John from Grease at the end of the movie with like frigging leather pants on, leather coat on, her hair all done up, smoking a cigarette. Like,
I would have popped for that. I got to be honest.
Tattoos all of a sudden in one day? No.
Absolutely.
NWO Bailey? I mean, okay, granted, it could have went without the blow-up gimmicks and her music what, and whatnot, the whole gimmick she has. But I don't know. I don't like the 180-degree turn within 12 hours. I don't like that. They did not. What did they do? Go to the ring truck and say, listen, I'm bad now, so I don't want that music anymore. Like, do you know what I mean? It's hokey.
I did like the touch of detail that her ring gear actually matched Sasha's ring gear. So like that, you know, that, so they at least had the unity there. It's not like that. I don't know. I mean, I get what Matt's saying. There is a valid point to that. Like, you can kind of slow burn a transition. I'll tell you what, you can tell as her being a first time heel, she doesn't have a lot of experience throwing chair shots. That first chair shot she threw tonight to Charlotte not only looked bad, it looked painful. I think she caught Charlotte in the back of the neck.
Well, because I guarantee you she got some crap from last night's chair shots. I said she waffled her. I watched it again. No, she didn't. She took it way too easy on her, and I bet you she got some smack over it.
I think you're exactly right.
Well, tonight you saw that.
So here's what I'm thinking. Last year when Becky attacked Charlotte at SummerSlam, Becky came out and cut the You People promo, which did not go over well because people saw her as an anti-hero, not as a heel. I think tonight was almost a reaction to that, and they had Bailey come out and play it safe. She didn't justify her actions other than to say, I've been true to Sasha. Sasha's always had my back, and I'm going to be true to her and what she wants. Mm-hmm. But some people are saying, oh, this is a slow build. It's a slow turn. The turn was last night. She took the action. If they were teasing it, it would have been like what with MJF and Cody the other night. You give a couple things where it looks like, are they going to do something?
Yes,
no. She full-on attacked Becky.
Yeah, there was an action that took place against a fellow babyface. I mean, I agree with you on that. I still think, I would have liked to come out and just totally, like, to a degree, they should have written it better, why she did what she did. It shouldn't just been about her, Sasha. It should have been about years and years of walking around doing this for you people, and it's gotten me nowhere. It's been an act from day one, and I'm finally, finally glad to drop this sad act, because I don't care about you. I hate every single one of you. I'm the best actress in the world, and I deserve an Academy Award for the crap smile I put on my face for the last 8 years, or how many years she's been doing this. You know what I mean?
I wish they'd done that.
It's the exact promo we all kept waiting for John Cena one day to cut if they turned him heel. You know, that's the exact thing. You know?
Yeah.
But that's the thing. They could, I don't think she could ever go back to being a babyface if she did that, Matt. It was like, I'm faking it.
Oh,
you know?
She can always go back. Everybody can go back. Kane tried to kill his brother several times, and Kane turned into a babyface. I mean, look, you can always turn into a babyface.
That's a little different, man. Everybody knows what it's like to want to murder a family member. I think we can all relate to that.
Triple H drugged Stephanie and got married, and then tried to fornicate with a body in a casket. And there's always room in pro wrestling to become a babyface again.
Perhaps.
Nothing is unforgivable.
But this tonight was very middle of the road. They didn't walk it back. Yeah, they didn't take it further.
It was not even close to what I was hoping it was. But
I said it on Twitter. I've eaten more complex vanilla ice cream before that had more flavor and richness and twists and turns.
Yeah,
it's boring.
I don't want to give up on it because I really want this.
I do too. I think they got to pick a side. I almost would have liked if she would have come out and apologized or walked it back, and then they put her in the end segment and had her really turn or something to sort of swerve people a bit more. But this tonight was just it's a big nothing burger, man. I mean, which is a shame because it was so hot going into this.
I hate to do this because it sounds like I always throw the writers under the bus, but oh well, here it comes. Because again, how do you not see what was all over Twitter, what was all over YouTube? I could not go through any YouTube video without that video popping up right below it for the next video coming up, you know?
Yeah.
I'm talking about, I was watching my political videos. I was watching the Five on the Fox, and it came up on that as next video.
Wow.
It was everywhere is my point. It was trending immensely. How are they this stupid and arrogant is really what it is. Say, nope, we're sticking to what we have versus going, we need to cash in on this now and move this forward now while it's red hot. We're not lucky enough to have red hot storylines since Becky Lynch. We have one here potentially. Let's throw some gas on it.
Yeah. I don't get it. It'll be
arrogant as hell. It bothers me.
I wonder if we're going to hear some behind the scenes gossip that they were afraid to go with it, afraid to really follow it through. I don't know.
Afraid to, like, what do you mean? Like, what are you suggesting they should have done?
Okay, last night. Okay, so there's only so many ways to do a heel turn, right? So one we talked about, if you want to tease it, slow build. That's not what last night was. She beat up Becky unprovoked. She didn't do it because Becky was beating up Sasha. She wasn't defending her friend per se. Mm-hmm. She aggressively and ruthlessly just beat Becky Lynch with a chair.
Turned on her fellow babyface tag team partner. That's it. That's a turn.
So what do you do the next night when you come out of your promo?
It wasn't a competitive one-on-one match where maybe she lost the match and just flipped out, you know, in retaliation because she lost to a fellow babyface. That was her partner in the match. That's a heel turn.
And so in the history of heel turns, the promo after that, what do? You explain why you did it.
Yes.
Now you can maybe walk it back if they wanted to go back and then do it that way. But instead, she didn't go out there and own it, and she didn't go back out there and apologize for it. Instead, she went out there, talked about being true to herself and true to Sasha. It was, I'm trying to think, have we ever seen a heel turn, if we're going to call it this, with that sort of explanation before? It was very weak by those standards.
I gotcha.
Yeah. And even if she was still the same character, or even if she acted, I don't know. There's so many, I don't want to fantasy book this, but in every scenario in my mind, tonight was not even on the radar of what I was expecting. You know?
That wasn't on mine either. Yep.
Yeah, I thought, you know, either they'd walk it back or they'd go full throttle with it. And maybe they will. Maybe they're just doing this in the most roundabout, screwed up way possible. I'm sure at Clash of the Champions, this will continue and next week.
Yeah, I mean, you had a crowd that was like, you know, chanting, do it, you know, one more time. You know, wanting her to keep hitting Charlotte with a chair. But then you have Clash of the Champions where they're going to be in Charlotte, North Carolina. So Charlotte's going to be based there. So there's a lot of dynamics at play right now with this.
Last time she was in Charlotte, she wasn't.
Well, this time she definitely will be, I think.
So Charlotte did come out. They traded words. Flair, I don't think, was being treated necessarily like a babyface in this promo. The dynamic was kind of unclear.
Shouldn't have been in this with Charlotte at all. She shouldn't have anything to do with her, honestly. If you just turn her heel, why is she going against a bigger, jerkier heel at all? It's so stupid.
Well, and then they try to get sympathy on Charlotte by having her get beat up with chairs.
No, we don't have sympathy for her. She's been a great bully.
I agree.
A great jerk. Great heel.
And she's a Flair. They live up here. We all live down here. You're supposed to want to dislike them.
Yes.
So Sasha came out as well. So Sasha and Bayley beat up Charlotte, hitting her with a chair. And yet, in all of this, these three women are out there, and the crowd kept chanting Becky. That to me is the biggest warning sign.
Yes.
About this, that is not good. It is not the reaction they were going for.
Well, I think you were lying last night.
Yeah, it was too.
Which it gave Becky the sympathy that the babyface should get when somebody turns on that other babyface and wants to see the babyface get the retribution, right?
Yeah, Charlotte was getting beat up 2-1, so I think everybody's hoping for Becky to come out at even the odds.
Or just give her her ass whipping that she deserves for hitting her with a chair last night. Forget Charlotte. They don't care what Charlotte getting her ass kicked. She's a heel. It was about Becky being the man of that division. You know what I mean? Being the champ and the best of that division, and who just got beat up last night by the cheap shot and turning like that and saying, F this. You guys think you're so tough? You know, screw this. Let's get Becky out here. And they start chanting Becky. You know what I mean? That's what I don't know.
Well, and to that point, look at the way Charlotte tonight still had that attitude when she was out there. Look at the way Sasha Banks has carried herself since she's been back. And I'm just saying, compared to all of that, compared to what Becky does on the mic, as sort of a Stone Cold-esque anti-hero, compared to what Sasha's doing, compared to what Charlotte's doing, what Bayley cut in that promo tonight was like, I wouldn't even put that on the level of her best NXT promos that she's ever cut. It was pretty bad.
It was bad. It was. I don't know if we're saying that because it's a letdown from what we were hoping it would be. And if that's the case, that's not really fair because that's not her fault. That's their fault.
Yeah. Oh, and this isn't Bayley's fault at all. I mean, I think this is creative, not really running with it or not really having something
on something that's hot.
I want to be proven wrong. I want this. I think this could be the hottest angle in all of the women's division right now.
It's a slow burn. How do they not see where they almost turned her heel? How many times, like last year, right during the time with her and Sasha in the past, and we're just like, come on, get it over with already. Like, this is annoying almost. Hurry up. We're waiting in the women's battle royal for her to do it, remember?
Yeah.
Like, come on, let's go. Like, in an annoying way. Not in a way like we're going to be so excited by this, but like, all right, let's just go because this is so obvious. He's going to turn a heel. Let's let it happen. Go. So they can't afford to do a slow burn with her here. They can't. Nobody's going to hang around for it. And it's not going to be anywhere near as meaningful if they don't strike now. Again, how do they not go home from their jobs last night and see it everywhere and go, you know what? This is much bigger than we anticipated. We need to throw gas on this.
Yeah. Number one trend in the U.S. last night on Twitter.
Bayley was still red hot.
Well, to be fair, they all could have gone home and back to the hotel and saw it, and they all could have came to the work and said, we got to do this. But if Vince didn't see it, then they ain't going to change.
I feel like right now, look, AEW launches, a month from today, right? October 3rd? Is that right?
Second. But yeah, a month.
October 2nd. Okay, a little less than a month from today. And if I'm WWE, I want to just set everything on fire right now. I want the hottest storylines, especially because, one, they're going to Fox with SmackDown. They're going to have this new competition. I mean, now is the time. Take some swings, change it up. What is the number one complaint we have about the WWE? It feels the same week in and week out. I can miss an episode and I miss nothing.
Yeah, it's cookie cutter boredom.
Yeah. So I feel like if not now, when? When is the time to really creatively throw some stuff at the wall and see what sticks?
Yeah, I can't stop crapping on those writers enough because I just don't get how you still have a job after that. I don't understand this. How do you ignore something this blatantly obvious? Do you know what I mean? I mean, last night you heard their reaction.
And maybe it's Vince. Maybe this is all Vince not knowing what he wants, not knowing what he wants to do. It's very strange.
Even more reason I hope AEW kicks their ass.
Yeah. So, speaking of which, King of the Ring quarterfinals match tonight, in terms of kind of more of the same, Ali versus Elias, putting on a really good match, but Elias winning and going forward in King of the Ring.
Very weird. Very weird. Elias, I mean, we keep saying he's Intercontinental Champion level guy. I'll bet he's been at that level, I would argue, for a while. But, like, he hasn't been booked strong. He's been being booked as the second, if you will, to Drew with the Shane McMahon storyline, right? So he beats this huge babyface of theirs that they're supposed to be really building. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, this match was really entertaining and
good match.
I mean, and Elias, to his credit, especially in the first segment of that match for the first commercial, I mean, vicious with his offense. Probably some of the most vicious offense I've ever
really
seen.
Really good.
Yeah. And I thought for sure, okay, vicious offense. They're just setting up, obviously, for just a standard Ali comeback. And I was shocked, you know, and maybe, yeah, and look, maybe, obviously, they always try to keep heels versus faces in the tournament. So then what we saw later ended up being a babyface win. But even still, I'd almost, even, and, you know, Elias is my dude, but I'd even still rather have seen probably Ali versus another babyface. Cause you're right, Elias just has not been booked convincingly. He's been a patsy. He's not been booked convincingly to straight up just cleanly beat the hot babyface like Ali. It's weird.
When is this Ali push happening that we've been hearing about?
I would argue they think it already has happened. Yeah. Is what I would argue is what they're thinking is.
Yeah. Well, he got to the second round of the tournament.
Yeah.
Push done.
We gave him tons of backstage promos. Fans are talking about it. Smart Mark think it's really cool and edgy.
Just got to win, man. Just got to win. Yeah, this was a really good match tonight. The wrestling action tonight was pretty strong overall.
Like, yeah, I mean, again, Elias's offense, but then, I mean, to Ali's credit, he did a 450 on Elias's arm. That was pretty, like, I never seen that. Like, I mean, this was a great match. This might, maybe the best bell to bell match, I don't know, of the night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought this was, yeah.
No, this was really good. Highly recommended. If you skip the show tonight, go back and watch this. And watch Gable versus Andrade. I thought that was also fantastic. We'll talk about that in a little bit. We had Samoa Joe backstage talking about his triple threat with Ricochet and Baron Corbin in King of the Ring next week. Man, Justin, we talked about this last night. Who do you got in the triple threat? Ricochet, Corbin, or Samoa Joe?
I mean, I got Rick. I said at the very beginning that the winner of the Ricochet Drew McIntyre first round match, probably the winner of the whole tournament. And now that Ali is out, and I thought it would be Ricochet Andrade, honestly, for the finals. And again, not to get jump ahead, but now that Andrade is out, I really think this is kind of setting up for Ricochet.
Why did it take you so long to say that?
I was walking through my bracket. Bracketology.
Well, isn't that part of the show we're supposed to be given? Like, yeah, you're right. Commentary as to why we think what we think.
Bracketology.
Yeah. Where's the whiteboard, Justin? I want you to, like, walk people through it and draw it out, you know?
Get it going. I'll get something along.
After that, we got Aleister
My list of Jericho. We'll do some bracketology
here. Aleister Black backstage. Oh, these promos, man.
Every time I watch it, I think of you now.
Because it's just, I mean, is this cool? Are these promos cool? Like, he's a cool guy.
No.
Yeah, these are terrible promos. I mean, they're badly written. They're badly delivered. They make him uncool.
I don't know if I've ever really necessarily thought he was cool. I think Rock is cool. I don't know. Sure. I think he's cool. I don't think he's not cool. I think he's supernatural.
He's in the category right now that Bray Wyatt and the Fiend are. The normal rules don't apply to him. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like a cult leader.
You know? Like, he's got powers and stuff. Like things just fire.
He does have powers. He rises brothers up in his entrance.
Brothers of Satan. He's a brother of Satan. You know, stuff like that.
That's how I picture Vince backstage. Be like, well, he's into Satan. Don't the kids love Satan? Isn't the devil the coolest thing? You know the songs like Shout at the Devil. The kids love the devil. I don't get it, man. These promos, like, his wrestling is on point, but man, these promos are just bad.
Yeah, I mean, whatever negative you have about his promo, he completely redeems himself later on the show in the match. I mean,
oh my God, is Jim Ross, you can imagine calling his matches, you know, talking about his educated feet and all that. His kicks are brutal. They are vicious and they're different how he goes into them. He's very different from everybody else on that card when he wrestles. He's very entertaining. Your eyes stay on him the whole time.
We got Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross versus Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville in a non-title match with Sonya and Mandy picking up the win.
I like that. I do. I don't think the two as women's champions are like legit, not legit, but I don't think they're like women's champions, in my opinion. Hmm. I think they're just there to hold it for Bayley and Sasha.
Yeah. How about you, Justin?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Alexa and Nikki, they've been it's been pretty strong for them. So it's a non-title match, great chance to get Sonya Deville victory. I'm a big fan of hers. I've said so. I was all in favor of this.
I am saying no, you're not. I'm calling you out. He's faking this, folks.
I had the thought tonight, isn't it weird a year later, the sole surviving thing from Sanity is now Nikki Cross's entrance theme.
Yeah. Huh. And she still, she still yells in it?
Is the yell in it? I know the music is the same. Yeah. But yeah, it's just...
the one dude went back to NXT. Where's Eric Young at? Is he... Like, what is he doing? Is he? Oh, he's chasing like the 24/7 title in the Conga line, doesn't he?
In the Conga line. Yeah.
Oh, man. After that, Samoa Joe mocking Chad Gable backstage.
Justin, what are you drinking?
Water.
Oh, I thought it was coffee. I was like, are you crazy? It's late. Sorry, ADD moment. Go ahead, Glenn.
Nah, Samoa Joe mocking Chad Gable. I think this was kind of some foreshadowing here. And even on commentary with Zelina and everything, really putting over his height, making him the ultimate underdog in this King of the Ring tournament.
I don't know what to make of it. I don't know what to make of him having to. Do you guys said he decided to cut his hair, or did they have him do it?
Justin, do you know that?
I don't know. All I know is what Matt would probably know, which is usually have to clear those kind of looks by the office. So,
well, like, we don't think of that on our own. Like, when it comes to hair, the office is usually the one that ask us to do the hair thing.
I don't think it was a good move.
No, it's a terrible move.
So,
I think it makes him somehow look shorter. I don't know why, but
well, it makes him look more just another dude.
Definitely that.
Yeah.
And he's a bona fide, legitimate, badass amateur wrestler. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Kurt was able to pull it off. That's just how special Kurt was.
Yeah. And we'll talk about the match he had. But before that, we had Randy Orton come out, cut a promo on Kofi Kingston. Randy calling out Kofi, who was dragged out by Dash and Dawson. And all three of them just took turns stomping him and beating him up in advance of this match at Clash of the Champions that they're going to have. Do you think they're running the stupid thing into the ground?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Although it gets us to be able to see the three of those heels work together. So that's the redeeming quality in all this for me, at least.
Yeah.
I've said it before. I'll say it again. Orton and the Revival just fit so well. It's just natural.
You've never said that.
I've been saying it every week. I've been listening. I said they're fanny packs and Ribera jackets. That's what they're all about. That's why I look at them.
Randy just needs to borrow a cowboy hat from his dad, and it'll be perfect.
No, be quiet. No.
He's getting to be, a little older now. I think it'd be a good look for him.
Randy Orton. You talk about, you don't know what cool is without Randy Orton is cool. He does not need a cowboy hat.
The cast he could pull off, I bet, or something similar to that.
Oh, yeah, the guy that wears the cast for 4 years, his arm's always broken. Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, he legitimately did remember his collarbone. It was, remember, and he'd come out and he'd say it was like 93%.
93, oh, yeah, way back in the day.
Then we had the King of the Ring quarterfinal match, Andrade versus Chad Gable. So Zelina was really throwing it at Chad in the promo before this.
Yes.
But this match, man, and they did the swerve where they made it seem like Chad had the win, that perfect suplex, Northern Light suplex. Ref didn't see the pin, and then Chad still got the win anyhow. I like that they tricked us a little there.
They did trick us. I didn't see that coming, especially with the burial of him, because that told me that the office is making fun of him, which is never good when the office is taking short guy jokes out on purpose, not in a way to make somebody appear as David. In David and Goliath, but in a way of just because Vince thinks it's funny in his own weird, demented way.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
And this was great. We don't see a lot of managers anymore in WWE. This was a great use during the match, not the promo, but during the match.
So good.
Yeah, I mean, this was great use of just that extra heat with, you thought, okay, Gable's going to get screwed because the classic, the ref's missing the pin. Yeah. And then that made that pop 20 seconds later, that much even bigger. I mean, that might have been the pop of the night when Gable won.
Because that was not what those fans were conditioned, predisposed to seeing in that exact formulaic finish that it was supposed to happen. That's why I think they bopped.
Yeah. Oh, no, I think the crowd.
I don't think it had anything to do with Gable being like, hey, we love Gable. We love Gable. I don't. I think it was just an upset, and that the other two had heat, Andrade and his manager.
I think backstage you might hear it as Gable being over because he was getting that reaction from the crowd. Maybe it turned, maybe it worked. But isn't it funny that they recycle the same like two or three babyface promos again and again on every single babyface they have? But when it comes to writing insults, no shortage of how to make fun of the talent.
It's true. It's true.
Oh man. But yeah, good for Gable picking up the win here. He's going to go on to face Elias next week. Yeah, King of the Ring semifinals.
That's huge for those guys. Madison Square Garden, you're fighting to go to the finals for King of the Ring. That's a good.
Elias is definitely moving through.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. especially if I'm right and Ricochet on the other side of the bracket moves in.
Dude, Corbin's winning this.
Yeah, be nice.
Well, it's not going to be Corbin versus Elias for the finals.
Oh,
that wouldn't make sense.
Who's on the bottom part of the bracket?
It's Corbin, Joe, and Ricochet on the left, and then you have Elias versus Gable. So yeah, so if you're saying Corbin's going to go in, then Gable has to.
Isn't the three way the winner of the three way to get to the semifinal?
No, I thought the winner of the three-way goes to the final, right? And then the winner of Gable.
Yeah, maybe.
Isn't that what it is?
I thought the three-way went to the semifinal.
No, those three-ways are the last one on the left side of the bracket. The last ones, I think. I
don't have a bracket. Yeah, because Corbin was going to face the winner.
Maybe Gable does win. I don't know.
So if you're right, Matt, if Corbin or Joe goes to the final, it has to be Gable beat Elias because you need a babyface.
They're not letting Elias beat Ricochet, bro.
Oh, yeah.
Right, yeah. So it's going to be it'll be Ricochet versus Elias, or Ricochet wins. Like I said, Ricochet takes the whole thing.
I'm excited to see which way this is going to go.
I don't think the King gimmick would work for him. He doesn't need it.
Well, he doesn't need it, but he used
Corbin
to be...
really could use this.
I love Corbin's heel work. Don't get me wrong,
You don't think he can make he can?
He oh, can he can make it work. He can make it work for sure. I just think
Ricochet will never play off of it as a babyface. What do you say? I'm the King of the Ring. Babyfaces can't talk like that, and he can't do that now.
No, he doesn't need to come out with the crown and scepter. But didn't he used to be referred to as King Ricochet before WWE? That's his Twitter. Yeah. That's his Twitter handle. So it's kind of it can be just King. It doesn't have to be King in a literal sense, like King Booker. It can literally just be.
Think about it. Think about the individual.
I always like heels as King of the Ring better. I like heels better. I just think Ricochet is going to be the one.
Michael Cole doing it's boss time, but instead for it's King Ricochet. It's going to make him so corny. It's going to make that poor kid so corny.
Again, I just said I prefer heels all the time with King. I prefer heels with Money in the Bank. That just works better that way. But I could see Ricochet here doing it.
King Corbin is good for a solid 6 to 8 weeks of television.
Dude, yes, and he'll wear it everywhere.
Everywhere. Yeah. Everywhere have the scepter. He'll sit there and do the like thumbs up, thumbs down, like a Roman emperor, even though it's technically, not a king thing. It'll be fantastic.
Maybe Chris Jericho should have wore the title in a longhorn.
Yeah, well, perhaps we'll talk about that.
Wear it everywhere.
Oh, man. Shelton Benjamin versus Aleister Black. Aleister Black won that match.
Yeah,
shocking.
Devastating. Devastating kicks.
He looked awesome.
Yeah.
He's a great visual for TV. Everything. His poses, his blank stare into the camera.
Yeah. He's a star. He is a big star.
He's TV ready.
We got Drake Maverick backstage with his wife. The Singh brothers and the B team attacked him. Bo Dallas became the 24 champion.
Great.
Yes. We went out to the ring. Sami Zayn and Shinsuke Nakamura. Shinsuke up against some enhancement talent. Sami pulling a Leo Rush. Now, Justin, do you think Vince was in Sami's ear telling him what to say?
Maybe. I noted on Twitter, the last two people prior to Sami Zayn who WWE strapped with the we're going to give you a live mic to talk at ringside during a match was Leo Rush, who's currently sitting at home because he ruffled a lot of feathers. Mm-hmm. And before that, way back in 2012, was a guy named Abraham Washington, who he was a manager for the Primetime Players. And he got fired for making a Kobe Bryant rape joke. So, Sami...
Kid could talk, by the way.
Abraham. Sami, be smart with what you do with a live mic.
Abraham Washington, you guys remember him? He could talk.
Yeah.
Shinsuke beat up Andrew Morton, the local enhancement talent.
But I don't know if maybe Vince gave Sami some lines before him, but Sami didn't have any IFB or anything on. Like Leo actually would have like a hit, like you could tell Leo had the technical capability to be fed lines. Sami wasn't wearing anything, so Sami was probably at least if he got any coaching, it was prior to. So we'll see.
We'll see if next week he's out there talking about Shinsuke smelling like money. We then got the Congo, the 24/7 Congo line came out. Drake Maverick pinned Bo Dallas to regain the 24/7 title, but then R-Truth was hiding, came from behind, pinned Drake to begin his 14th 24/7 title reign.
It's his 14th? No, we're exaggerating, right?
No, that's what they said.
He's won at 14 because they keep swapping it back and forth each week. He's won.
I didn't know it happened 14 times though.
It's some of it's been three times in a night.
Don't be confused. I'm not impressed. I'm just wondering, how did I miss 12 of them? Or is it 11? Maybe I've only seen three.
Like Matt, six of them. Like, Matt's like, he shoot one 14 times.
I don't know, man. There was a good joke made in reference perhaps to the Chris Jericho story, saying that Drake and his wife taking a limo to a local restaurant with the title. But we'll talk about that and all the details about what's going on with the AEW championship after we finish SmackDown. Last segment of the show, we got Roman Reigns coming out to face off against Daniel Bryan, interrupted by Eric Rowan. Eric shouting at Daniel Bryan, shouting at Roman, building up the match between Roman and Rowan at Clash of the Champions. Really, the end of this, just Rowan going mad, screaming, "Never again," like slapping Bryan, hitting him with the iron claw, driving him through the announce table. Matt, how are you feeling about Rowan versus Roman at Clash of the Champions?
Don't care. They've made us not care enough about Roman. Do you know what I mean? And he's a big boy. He's impressive looking. He looks different than everybody else on those rosters, right? For the most part, they've done a terrible job of making us care about him. I mean, it's okay to be somebody's heater or muscle, but they've got to do a better job of giving some depth. Well, Matt, they're giving him depth right now. He's the one who freaking almost killed Roman Reigns. Okay, but it's out of nowhere. All of a sudden, now we're supposed to care about this guy, and we don't.
Yeah, I mean, this will be a big match for Eric Rowan's career to be on a pay per view with Roman Reigns. But in terms of what leads into this, they have outswerved themselves, bro. Like, I'm so confused. So Eric Rowan admitted tonight that it was him, after all.
Right.
But Daniel Bryan has nothing to do with it. But then why did Daniel Bryan find who's the other red bearded guy that like they threw us off of the week?
No, I have nothing for you on that. No idea.
They've outswerved themselves.
You're thinking about this more than they have.
Apparently, and I'm not even getting paid for it.
Yeah, I want to know where they got this random guy and painted the poor guy's beard, and what was the purpose of it? Who is he? Yeah. How did they get in the room?
And is Daniel Bryan now a babyface?
Hang on, they kidnapped somebody. Come on.
Unlawfully detained them, held them hostage.
I want follow up on that.
This is so confusing. It really is. They've outswerved themselves. I think they've.
It's just, you know, I made the joke. It's like, are we sure Maggie Simpson didn't attack Roman? I mean, like, this is like, I think about the Who Shot Mr. Burns thing. Like, just as far as disappointing payoffs and all of this, this is more
disappointing than Rikishi running over Stone Cold Steve Austin and I did it for The Rock. This is more disappointing than that.
That was disappointing. I remember being kind of excited for somebody else to get brought into the main event picture.
Yeah,
was new. But yeah, I remember being disappointed at first.
Yeah.
This to me is worse.
So I'm assuming Daniel Bryan interferes in this match of Clash of the Champions. I mean, right? That's actually more interesting than Roman beating Rowan.
I just think he beats Rowan somehow. I don't know why.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I mean, Daniel Bryan versus Roman, though. That seems to be
what they're holding off for. But again, I don't know what the point is. Like, what? Like, I don't know. It's so confusing. Very confusing.
Yeah. So that was SmackDown tonight. Let's talk about how AEW stole the day with some real life news.
Stole. I got what
stole.
You
oh yeah, they didn't even intentionally. Here, I'll call up the police report. Oh my god. So Matt, you heard about this?
No, because I'm in the middle of a storm.
That's right.
Dorian, bands are hitting us starting at 11 p.m. tonight through 11 a.m. tomorrow.
Oh wow!
All right, Matt's got 18 minutes. We gotta get him off here.
Yes.
No. What did I miss?
So Chris Jericho has either misplaced or actually he filed a police report. Someone has stolen the AEW championship belt.
And this is real. Him. It's not a storyline. It's tremendous.
This is 100% real.
Where did he get stolen from? Where was it?
So the Longhorns Steakhouse.
Wait, what did he do? Get up and go to the bathroom or something and leave his title there?
He was in the limo. I'm going to find the police report on this. I swear to God, this sounds kayfabe. This sounds like if I was writing a story about what happened.
This sounds like R-Truth is stealing it.
Yeah. Okay.
Is this MJF maybe somehow?
No. This is an actual police report.
A police report.
reporters have verified this with, was it the Tampa police?
Tallahassee.
Tallahassee. Even more perfect. Of course, this happens in Tallahassee, Florida. Okay, so grand theft reported 2400 North Monroe Street in Tallahassee, Florida. I'm assuming that's the address of the steakhouse. The victim reported the theft of his championship wrestling belt while he was eating inside Longhorn Steakhouse. The victim stated he arrived at the Millionaire Club airport terminal and placed the belt inside his rented limousine. The limo driver shuttled the victim to the Longhorn for dinner. The victim remained at Longhorn while the limo driver returned to the airport. The victim had taken the wrong luggage from the airport and the driver took it back to the terminal. When the driver picked up the victim from the restaurant, the belt was missing. Responding officers searched the limo and airport for the belt without success. On call, CID was consulted and forensics responded to the scene. Forensics.
Oh, God.
You know, Ric Flair just would have wore the belt in the Longhorn. I don't know what the hell is wrong with Jericho. Why don't you just wear the belt in?
I would have. Like a complete mark, I would have. But wait, I'm still going to slow that part down real quick.
Jericho gets picked up by limo at the airport. Yep. He grabs luggage, puts luggage and belt in the limo. Realizes once he gets to Longhorn, he grabbed the wrong luggage. So he tells limo driver, I'm going to go eat. Can you take this back and go get my real luggage? And in the process of limo driver doing that, the belt goes missing.
Here's what I think. I think the limo driver accidentally, and is now too scared to admit it, brought it back to the airline and said, hey, this guy grabbed the wrong luggage and included the belt with that luggage as the wrong luggage that Jericho grabbed. And then grabbed Chris's suitcase and then came back.
Maybe.
So somewhere in lost baggage.
It's at Delta's front desk.
It's a lost luggage. or start checking out every pawn shop.
I just solved it, honestly.
So Jericho has now announced, and AEW is running with this, he's going to launch a worldwide investigation into who stole the belt.
I can't see anything he can't pull off. I'm yet to see it to date, honestly. So I don't know about this one, but I don't know. I got to watch it. I got to do my due diligence online now and figure out what the hell happened.
Start going to every pawn shop in Tallahassee.
Man.
Oh, you know there's some wrestling reporter out there driving to Tallahassee, going to be on the scene at Longhorn Steakhouse.
I mean, and this happened on Sunday. This happened – 24 hours after Jericho wins the inaugural title and it gets stolen. That's a valuable piece of merchandise for some fan to steal.
So the limo driver was there obviously during when the cops came and searched the car and did all that stuff.
Is that in the report, Glenn? Did it say? I would assume so, right?
Limo driver there.
It was the same limo driver, I believe, who left and came back.
Okay. Because listen, if you're not a wrestling fan and you have no idea what the hell these title belts are, like it's a toy looking belt for all the guy knew, he doesn't know. And Jericho's like, look, I took the wrong luggage. I grabbed the wrong crap. Can you go back and get mine while I eat? Sure, no problem. So the guy takes that with the luggage back to the, you know, lost and found, and says, hey, my guy I picked up grabbed the wrong shit. Where's his shit? Oh, there it is. Thanks. Suitcase, packs it, and brings it back to Jericho.
But if you're Jericho, wouldn't you think, okay, that's a possibility. This guy might mesh this title belt with a luggage. So, like, say to him, don't take that. Or, again, take the title belt with you. Like, that just seems so.
The other thing is, was the title belt in the suitcase? I was
not clear.
Not yet.
In your suitcase. You don't walk around town with
right.
It. Right. It seems odd.
Being funny. I don't know.
Remember what I said. They got guys walking into Walmart sometimes with these belts. I guess Jericho just wanted to flash around the harbor. I don't know.
It is in a bag usually. You keep it in your suitcase. Yeah. You hang out with it.
I don't know. This is so bizarre. This is the weirdest story. Just the timing to a day after he wins it.
If there weren't a police report that was verified on this, I would think this is storyline.
For sure.
Why. Yeah.
For sure.
Cannot make a false report. Yes.
Yes. I'm sure there are truthers out there saying this is AEW trying to throw people off the scent of why Kylie Rae left. You know, what'd you say last night, Matt? Who are you, Sherlock freaking Holmes? Like, who figure out the mystery?
Who cares?
I know. Well, now, hey, all you truthers out there, you got a new hunt. Who stole Jericho's belt? Knock yourselves out. The Tallahassee police, I'm sure, will greatly appreciate your assistance in this investigation.
back to Kylie Rae. Why can't it be she wants to go to WWE? That's it. What's wrong with
that?
Could be that.
I think it's fine. I'm just saying, like, we talked about this last night. Justin, you were blissfully unaware of this. Like, wrestling Twitter, just people talking about, should people look into it? Should people not? It's just silly. It's like, if somebody doesn't want to be with the company and they were asked for the release, they got the release. End of story. If you delete your Twitter and you don't want to be bothered, who cares why? That's on you.
What these people thought potentially could have been any other reason as to why she wanted her release is what I want to ask these people.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
what are you guys thinking? Did they threaten to murder her? Is that what you're wondering? Or did they, like, what do you think happened? Like, we're talking about Tony Khan and we're talking about the nerdiest guy, like, in the world, who's a legitimate fan and treats everybody with crazy amount of respect, it seems, right?
That's what they want you to think, man. It's all a facade. These billionaires.
He's really not that nerdy, and
yeah, they want you to think you're they're one of them, you know.
I think they're a legitimate, rabid wrestling fan, and it shows. And it's, I think that's a cool thing.
And he could afford to pay off the Tallahassee police to file this false report.
No, goodness gracious!
Throw people off the scent. No, it's. I mean, dude, this is why wrestling is just crazy. Like, yeah, you couldn't write this shit. Like, it's just so freaking weird. I mean, this is great. This is absolutely fantastic. The Jericho stuff is with Kylie. Look, I wish her well. I hope she's doing okay. And if she goes, shows up in WWE, I'll be the first person cheering her on. I think she's incredibly talented. Other AEW news, viewership, Countdown to All Out special aired on a Friday night with almost no promotion or buildup. What did it do, Justin? Almost 400,000 viewers?
Which is pretty good considering that's late on a Friday night. And like you said, they only announced it like a few days before. They really didn't advertise it. So all things considered, it's AEW's first original programming on TNT. I mean, or for a Friday night, it is what it is, but that's not bad.
Aired on TNT?
Yeah. Yeah.
It was like a countdown show.
The pre-show.
It was Friday night, so it was like...
No, not the pre-show. It was like a recap, some of the footage from the Road to YouTube. They did the same thing for Double or Nothing, but Double Nothing, it was only on the internet. I think it was on TV in the UK. Yeah. It was just like an hour hyping up All Out.
It was a day before All Out, but yeah, like Glenn said, it was just video packages and stuff to get people familiar with what they had content going on. So again, late Friday night, no advertisement for rooms for 400,000. That's not too bad.
I'm going to predict it now. I think they might hit 1 million viewers on TNT first episode.
Isn't people?
I would hope so.
Didn't Meltzer try to say like 500,000 or something crazy?
Yeah, I think they're already trying to lower the bar a little bit so people don't play against expectations. I think 1 million is very possible.
I think they'll definitely hit 1 million. I mean, you figure even Smack. I know SmackDown's been around for 20 years, but even SmackDown on its worst, even Raw at its worst, are still hitting 2 million. I got to think AEW at the gate, based upon the success they've had, they'll probably hit 1 million. I think.
What do you think NXT does its first night on USA?
Next week?
Yeah.
I think they'll do close to... I could see them doing close to 2 million.
Yeah, it's quite possible.
What's going to be interesting to see is... And I think both of these things... I mean, what's going to be interesting to see is, okay, what is the internal reaction, namely from Vince, when NXT beats either Raw or SmackDown in viewership regularly? And then what's going to happen? Like, and then what's the reaction going to be if AEW's beating NXT regularly? Like, that's what's going to be fun about this. They say there's not a war here, but this is a war. Just acknowledge it. It's fun.
I'm NXT, dude. I'm going for broke and trying to beat Raw and SmackDown.
Hell yeah.
Right? I mean, you talk about the ultimate transition and old man, you need to get out of the way. Like, is it, if NXT is able to pull that off somehow. Mm-hmm. Because it'll be ran by Hunter, right? There is no Vince fingerprints in this, right?
Hunter actually did an interview. I don't know if it was the last couple of days. I can't remember, but he said, like,
basically said that, right?
He basically said Vince said go make NXT a success on killing the USA. So yeah,
same interview where he completely shot down the rumors about Enzo and Cass coming back to NXT. Well, Enzo specifically.
Yes,
it is. It's weird for like a day.
How did he say it? How did he say it about Enzo?
Zero interest. And keep spreading rumors. I'm sure that's worked out really well for you.
Yeah, he bashed Meltzer, essentially. Because Meltzer was the one that put it out there.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
Now, that being said, if not for the Triple H comments and the WWE's denial, I almost would have thought maybe it will happen when NXT goes to USA. But Triple H's thing is maybe a little too real sounding, his quotes.
Yeah, no, I mean, it sounded like it was pretty real. And for the fact, look, you know...
Would it work?
For the fact, For the fact that Triple H made a point, he said in the interview that they and WWE quickly, as soon as those rumors came out, WWE quickly acknowledged the rumors and shot them down. And they don't. I mean, there's a lot of rumors every single day out in the web, and they don't really chase. They don't really swing at most of them, but they swung to make sure to say this. And he, you know, even Enzo has said on record. And Enzo has done a lot of, you know, shoot interviews. He even said Enzo said that once he got to Raw and SmackDown, that Triple H. Him and Triple H really were not eye to eye. He said Vince was the one that was in his corner, as Enzo said. So it kind of makes sense, all that being said, that, you know, Triple H saying, no, I have no interest in having Enzo come into my play yard that's nice and kosher right now. You know, so I could see. I don't think this is a...
You're comparing Enzo to pork and shellfish?
Yes, that's what I'm comparing it to. Did I say kosher?
Sorry. Matt Morgan, do we have to explain Judaism to you for a second?
I forget. I didn't know he said kosher. Okay. Yeah.
That was actually the best conversation.
Kumbaya. I mean, I could have said anything, I guess. You know.
I had a conversation backstage explaining the finer points of Judaism to Conrad Thompson. I guess not a lot of Jews in Alabama.
Really?
Yeah. So who would have thought, right? Anyhow, so we'll see. We'll see what happens when NXT. It's a week after next, right? It's the Wednesday after Clash of the Champions.
Yeah. That's correct.
That'll be exciting. Yeah, man. This is a good time. I wish SmackDown had been a little hotter tonight with the storyline. I think the wrestling was good tonight, but man, stop saving your powder.
Have you noticed they haven't had Shane on TV for a couple weeks now?
Well, that's an immediate improvement right there.
But that's for as prominent as he was, like he all of a sudden just boom has just not been on TV like out of nowhere. That's kind of weird. Without explanation. Yeah. I don't know if I was the only one that noticed it.
As like a bad thing, though?
No, I'm just pointing out the guy was like a prominent centerpiece of SmackDown storylines, and all of a sudden, like he's just
not on anywhere. Yeah, you're not.
Yeah, just random. They haven't even acknowledged it. They haven't even made up something like, "Oh, he's in a mansion, refusing to come." Like they haven't said anything.
Yeah, I think the less said about this, the better. Right now, let's give it some time. Anything else, Justin? Anything else in the world of sports entertainment we should cover?
No, not really.
Okay. Oh. Matt Morgan.
Go Wardlow. Wardlow to AEW. All right.
You've got a...
He looked awesome. That his promo package they gave him, he looked like such a star.
He's another one here. You know, he's been here through IWC Wrestling with us. I managed him for his first 150 matches. I watched this kid grow and be undefeated for a couple years. This kid is the real deal.
How tall is he?
Legit?
Yeah.
6'2", 6'3".
Man, that friggin' vignette made him look like 6'5", 280.
He's, I mean, don't, I mean, you know, I don't want to kill
his. He's not scrawny, you're saying.
Yeah, I don't want to kill the kayfabe here. Yeah, I mean, he's solid, though. And I always tell him, tone it down, you need to do this. This dude can do a senton from the top rope. This guy, I mean, you know, he doesn't need to work that way necessarily, but he is impressive. Again, I watched.
Movie star.
Yeah, I mean, I've watched him grow, and he just, I remember him having a match with Robbie E. And he beat Robbie E. And I remember after the match, Robbie asking him, like, you know, like, he's like, I know you're young, but you're good for young. Like, how many matches have you had? And I think at that point, Warlord had like 30 matches. I mean, he learns so quick. He's such an athletic freak. He's a good person, good dude. He's going to.
How old is he?
30, 31.
It looks like a huge star.
Yeah, he's got a great opportunity. I'm here for him.
It was announced before we go, StarCast 4 is happening around AEW Full Gear in Baltimore, I believe November 7th to 11th.
Get some Jimmy Seafood while you're there.
StarCast 4, man. Gonna go take like the white privilege tour of filming locations from The Wire. It'll be epic.
White privilege tour.
Because it's I'm sure there are people that do that. I'm sure there are lots of people who are big fans of The Wire go to these like rundown neighborhoods.
Oh, there actually isn't a real tour is what you're sounding.
No, there's not. No, but that's what I'm saying. It's like, cause I was thinking about what I want to do in Baltimore and I'm like, oh, they shot The Wire there. And then think about all these people going to like tourists in these crime ridden neighborhoods. I mean, it's a comment on them more than anything else. No, I'm not actually going to go do that, but I think I've heard Baltimore's lovely and you're right, Justin. I don't eat seafood, but a lot of people say it's a very good town for that.
As a person that was born and raised in Maryland, I can tell you, I'm Baltimore's not my favorite city. You know, I'm more south and north towards DC, but Baltimore, man, you can get some great food. If you like, put Old Bay on everything, get some crabs, some corn on the cob, put some butter in Old Bay. You got to do it right if you're going to be in Baltimore. Jimmy's Seafood, great place.
Folks, it, It finally happened. AOC has wreaked her madness even onto the Wrestling Inc. podcast. You heard white privilege on a wrestling podcast, folks. All throw up in unison with me, please.
Be sure to join us next week when Matt Morgan and I will be debating whether or not white privilege exists on the Wrestling Inc. podcast. Oh, Raj Giri will moderate. Oh, it'll be epic.
Well, Glenn, sodomize him. Okay, continue. Go ahead.
Oh, Jesus. Whoa, Matt really going for it with that. I don't know. Anyhow, yes, so StarCast.
Do people actually do that, Glenn? Do they actually take a white privilege tour and go to like the rundown neighborhoods where shows were filmed? Is that a thing?
That is absolutely a thing. They don't call it that. I'm calling it that to mock it. I'm mocking the people that do that because it's kind of messed up to essentially sort of exploit a real situation like that and think of it like this kitschy thing to do.
Yes, that is. You
know? I didn't know that was a thing that was actually happening.
Nor did I. But question, is it the same if somebody does that to where the Cosbys lived, where Dr. Cosby lived and his family?
Yeah, by the way, I'm a huge Family Matters fan. The first time I went to Chicago, I seeked out the house, the Family Matters house, by the way.
I did that. I also did, what do you call it? Obviously, the one everyone does in California. Come on.
Full House. Yeah, absolutely.
Yes. I think it's more the privilege part that I'm focusing on with this. I joked about it's white. I don't know. There was an SNL sketch years ago talking about how I don't know. Well, Google it. It's very funny. But my point is that, about more, exploiting poverty for amusement. That's what I'm making fun of. It's not a race thing. Anyhow.
I wasn't trying to exploit Steve Urkel and the Winslow family. I just wanted to see the house. That I loved watching on TGI Fridays.
No, I've been to where the Cheers bar was. I go and check all that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Although it's different inside. I mean, they didn't actually film it in the bar, but the exterior is definitely.
Can you walk down the stairs like what it looks like?
Yeah, the stairs look. You can absolutely walk down the stairs. They actually remodeled. They remodeled one of them to look like the TV set because so many people would visit there and be disappointed that it didn't look like the bar.
That was a great show. Made Aim Alone.
Absolutely. Man, I love Cheers. Yeah. Anyhow.
TV sucks. Thursday night, Friday nights used to be amazing.
Oh, absolutely.
A little.
Well, specifically when it was like Cosby, what was it?
TGI Friday.
Cosby Show, Family Ties, Cheers, and Night Court. That was like the ultimate Thursday.
Right. Alice B. Keaton was awesome.
Yes, absolutely. On that note, maybe I'll have to go back and watch some Family Ties.
I got a feeling Glenn and Alex B. Keaton don't get along.
Are you kidding? Alex P. Keaton was like my role model when I was
a kid. What are you talking about? He's like, this guy. Alex P. Keaton wanted to be Ronald Reagan. Do you want to be Ronald Reagan?
No, as a kid, I thought Alex P. Keaton was like the coolest guy on earth.
All right.
Absolutely, 100%. Mm-hmm. You know, don't make me get into it about being a Republican in the 80s. It's actually very similar to being a Democrat currently. It's the parties have shifted to the right, ideologies have changed, et cetera, et cetera. That's a whole different episode when Wrestling Inc. Talks Politics launches in 2020 in advance of the election season. Anyhow, Justin LaBar, what do you want to plug?
Wheeling Island, West Virginia. We'll be there. IWC Wrestling, Wheeling Island, West Virginia on September 13th. Gonna be a great card. Wardlow will be there on our cards and come see the future of AEW. Wheeling Island, West Virginia. Still tickets available. We will also have Kevin Nash there. Kevin Nash will be doing a meet and greet. Still some tickets left. IWCWrestling.com. You can also see yours truly.
Nice. Matt Morgan.
I actually want to plug bpisports.com. It's a supplement company that I'm sponsored by. And I always forget to plug things at the end of these shows. You'll see on my Instagram, I always plug it. It's stuff that actually really, really works. Fat burner called Roxy Lean. You can go to bpisports.com and order it. Use the code Blueprint and get 20% off. You take it in the morning once, and that's it. And it speeds your metabolism up all throughout the day. And you will drop some serious LBs and get ripped up. So go to my Instagram and you'll see different supplements from them that I generally advertise and legitimately use.
That's awesome. I'm Glenn Rubenstein. You can find me on Twitter at Glenn Rubenstein. Also, I plugged this last night. Blue Chew running a contest for them. We're giving away a signed mic flag signed by CM Punk, a bunch of signed 8x10s from StarCast. Check out the Blue Chew Twitter for more details about how to enter. And shout out to Baby Maharaja in the chat, who's been blowing us up with super chats tonight all throughout this, tossing some coin our way. I feel like, I'm wrestling in Mexico, people tossing dollar bills at us. Thank you, Baby Maharaja. And until next time, folks, we will catch you back here on the Wrestling Inc. podcast. Take care.